G'day everyone, this is Big Jamine, aka The Terrible Australian, and welcome to this second edition of my 2018 Myth Audio Reviews. For this episode, I will be reviewing the films Shoplifters, Acute Misfortune, Thoroughbreds, and Bodied. And before I go into my reviews, I want to state, like I did in the previous episode, unlike in previous years where my audio reviews were sort of contained to reviewing to two films that would each episode would run about at least 10 to 15 minutes. I will be reviewing this year four films per episode. So these episodes and my reviews are going to be a little bit longer than usual, probably somewhere between the 20 and 30 minute mark. So these are going to be more like mini podcast episodes. So I apologize up beforehand if these episodes do run a little bit longer, but I figured it's understandable being that I'm reviewing four films rather than two like I did in previous years. So now with that out of the way, let's get right into the episode and we'll start off with the very first film that I'm reviewing, which of course is the film Shoplifters, which is the latest film Japanese director Hirokazu Koreeda, which actually was this year's winner of the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival this year. So the plot summary for this film, which I'm once again reading from the Myth Program Guide, is as follows. For the Shibatas, every day brings new troubles, particularly of the monetary kind. Father Osamu and preteen son Shota shoplift what they can, but one light-fingered session sees them bring home something different, abandoned, abused 5-year-old Juri, whose presence sparks joy as well as life-changing revelations. Now, there was a couple of reasons why I was very much looking forward to Shoplifters when it was playing at MIF. The first one being that it was, like I said before, it was actually this year's winner of the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival. So anytime a film that plays at MIF, and particularly if it's the Palme d'Or winning kind, I definitely have to see it. And to see whether, of course, if it's worthy of winning such a prestigious honour. And of course, the second reason being the film's director, Hirokazu Koreeda. If I butchered his name, please forgive me. To me, he's a director who I really greatly admire, because I've seen quite a few of his films over the last few years, particularly when I started attending MIF, because every year at least one or two of his films kind of play at the film festival. Like in previous years, a couple have, like, I know the very first film of his that I saw at MIF a couple years back was the film Like Father, Like Son, which I absolutely loved. And since then, any time a film of his is programmed at the festival, it's definitely on my must-see list for sure. So with Shoplifters, I had a lot of high expectations for this one, being that it just had a lot of qualities to it that intrigued me. And of course, it had a plot to it that was also really interesting as well. So what did I think of it overall? I have to admit, I was kind of underwhelmed by this one, to be honest. It's not to say that Shoplifters is a bad film, because it isn't, but I don't know, I kind of was expecting a lot more, and it has all the qualities that Koreeda's previous work has. Like, to me, what makes Koreeda such a fascinating director, to me, he's probably one of the few humanist directors working today. He's a guy who is very much loves characters, and like all of his films are basically character studies, and he's interested in how people are, the sort of the dynamics between family, friends, and he knows how to sort of capture that humanity on screen so well, and do it in a way that's incredibly believable. And a lot of that is in this film. And he also tackles social topics, which is another sort of hallmark of his work, as particularly since the family in the film is kind of a very sort of impoverished family who basically sort of live in a rundown house, and they pretty much are a group of people. They're not sort of really a family by blood. They're kind of more a family of sort of people who from from different walks of life who managed to come, who have come together over the years and formed a family for themselves. And it's also, like I said, it sort of tackles sort of social topics in terms of what family, what sort of how the poor live, and also, and how society treats them, and also the struggles that they face. Like, all those hallmarks are definitely very much in the film. But, and also he has that sort of very sort of sentimental, sincere quality to his work as well, which I think some people could easily see as sentimental, but for me, it just feels very sincere and just very appropriate in the moment, and knows how, and he's also a filmmaker who knows how to tug the heartstrings. But unfortunately, though, compared to his previous work, I felt like the film is about, I think it's about, let me just check the running time for this one. It's about 2 hours long, but I feel like it should have been a little bit shorter. Maybe not say, maybe about 10 minutes shorter, because one of the main problems that I have with the film is that it has some very serious pacing problems. Because there were times where the film just felt very sluggish with its pacing. And also just the way how he sort of handles the story, because the film is very meandering at times. It kind of just goes from one sort of little plot point to the other until it gets to the sort of more heart-wrenching kind of third act. Right there, we kind of sort of fought this family from, I wouldn't say it's like a vignette type of film in terms of like there's different stories happening to this family. It's sort of this one sort of big event going, happening to this family, one right after the other. And also, like, as well as the actors in the film who do such a great job with their performances, and I think, at least on that level, they kept me interested because you do care about these characters. But I don't know, I feel like it, the problem was with the pacing and the fact that it has sort of this very meandering plot. And usually when a film does that, it doesn't really bother me. But at times it just came across and made the film a little dull and drag in spots. And which is kind of weird because Kurita never really does that with his films, and which is kind of disappointing to me. And the film does definitely pick up a little bit in the third act. Like I said, there are things that happen in the third act that are very sort of heartbreaking, and you get, and but until it gets to that point, it just feels like it's kind of just a little aimless at times and a bit unfocused. And I feel like if it was maybe a couple minutes shorter, it probably would have been a lot better of a film. And like, but then again, maybe that's just me, because I was sort of reading all the reactions of the film after its screening. People absolutely loved it. And I'm not discounting what they said. Like, maybe, like I said, maybe in the end it's just me. But I don't know, the film just didn't really affect me as much as I thought it was going to be. And I think it's mainly due, not really the screenplay, I mean, yeah, of course the screenplay, but not really the performances, because there are some really great individual moments in it. But I feel like it's a film where the sum of the parts are the better than the whole. So in that regard, it just felt, came across as underwhelming to me. It's not a bad film, it's just, yeah, it's just a bit of a disappointment, compared to his previous work, which I liked and preferred a lot more. So if I had to give Shoplifters a rating, I'd give it a solid 3 out of 5. It's maybe I probably need to see it again, because I was slightly tired when I watched it, but I don't know, it just didn't really work for me either way. And but that's just me though. So moving on to film number 2, which is the Australian film Acute Misfortune. And the plot summary for this film is as follows. When 19-year-old Wonderkind journalist Eric Jensen, Toby Wallace, was invited by bad boy Australian painter Adam Culling, Daniel Henshaw, to write his biography, Jensen jumped at the chance. Despite a turbulent relationship, the two formed a unique bond that lasted until Culling's death in 2012, at the age of 46. Now, I kind of feel a little bit bad about this because not to say that I didn't like the film, far from it. I thought it's a great film, and I'll go into reasons why. Is that I didn't really know much about Adam Cullen prior to this film. Like, I think, but to be fair, sort of as much as I do like art, it's not something that I sort of like look into in terms of like, who's the it artist at the moment, who's been like hugely successful over the last couple of years. Like, to me, art is art. If I like it, I like it. If I don't, I don't. But I'm sort of not an art... Well, I'm a film critic, not an art critic. So in that regard, I was very much unfamiliar with Adam Cullen's work. But then what he's probably best known for is that in 2000, he won the Archibald Prize for his portrait of actor David Wenham. And that's probably like one of his most well-known art pieces. So I wasn't really aware of him that much prior to this film. But at the same time, though, when I read the synopsis in the program, it definitely was very intriguing. And I thought, okay, I'll give this a shot. And I happened to be at the film's world premiere, overall, I really liked this film a lot. What I really liked about it, though, even though it is a biopic, it is not a very traditional biopic, because it really, instead of like, you know, with a lot of biopics, they're sort of more about, you know, covering the person's entire life. But this film kind of follows a couple years in the life of Adam Cullen, especially in the years leading up to his death. But it's more about his relationship with reporter Eric Jensen and sort of their relationship with each other. And to me, that is one of the high marks of this film and what really made it work for me. And it is kind of because the film is in chronological order, but it sort of kind of shifts from one time period to the other. So it's not a film that's really driven by plot. It's more of a character study. And what I really liked, though, is that we kind of see sort of the film delves into the lives of both these men. Usually it would just more focus on one or sort of see it from one person's point of view, but we kind of get to see both these men at the heart of it. And both Daniel Henshaw and Toby Wallace were just fantastic in the film, particularly Daniel Henshaw, who this is without a doubt he's a great actor, but this is definitely without a doubt his best work since Snowtown. And just like what he did in that film, he's absolutely electrifying when he's on screen and has such a sort of a charismatic and intense quality to him. And it's understandable kind of like hearing a bit more about Adam Cullen as a person, that he was kind of a person that people either loved or they absolutely hate him, because he had such a very unique personality. And you see that a lot in this film, and you can definitely see why a lot of people disliked him as a person. But that's what kind of drew me into the film, because even if the character is unlikable or unsympathetic, if the filmmaker manages to make them interesting, that to me will hook me in. And the film was directed by Thomas M. Wright, and he made his directorial debut with this film, and he did a really good job. And he actually co-wrote the screenplay with the real life Eric Jensen as well. So that's why the film has such a personal quality to it, especially when it comes to the characters, because I mean, it's co-written by the guy who actually lived it. So, and to me, like, on a directing level, it's really well done. Like, I can understand some people kind of taking issue with the kind of the structure of it. Like, it does go from one scene to the other over the course of many years, like, with all these different moments with these two characters. But it actually did work for me, because you get sort of hooked in by both the filmmaking and also the performance as well. And I really like the fact that the film was shot in 4:3, which is kind of like which is something you don't see often in films, unless it's like a a Wes Anderson film or a few other filmmakers who I am trying to think off the top of my head, but I can't at the moment. But overall, like, Acute Misfortune was a really compelling film, and I really liked it a lot. Although, I guess my main criticism of the film is that since I wasn't really sort of aware of Adam Cullen as an artist, I kind of wish the film delved into more of his creative process as an artist, because we kind of see more of his disintegration over the years as a person, but we never sort of see, like, really much of the artwork. Like, we see a lot of it in the film, but we don't see his creative process and why he was considered a genius by so many people. But we kind of see more of the troubled genius part rather than the actual artistic genius part. But I will say this, like I said, Daniel Henshaw, like, going back to him very quickly, he's such an... This is definitely his Robert De Niro in Raging Bull kind of performance, because throughout the whole film, his physical transformation throughout the whole film is mesmerizing, because, like, one scene he'll have, like, hair and no hair, and he'll have a, like, full-on beard, and then the next it's all clean shaven, or it's sort of done up into a goatee or a specific, but also his weight as well. He goes from being sort of this really big stocky kind of guy to be as really gaunt and almost thin as a rake. And like seeing that a lot throughout the whole film, like just from beginning to end, is astonishing. Like, of course they wouldn't have done that in chronological order. They would have done it like out of sequence, of course, but it's just impressive on how he approached this role. It's definitely full-on method performance, and it is astonishing. So I really liked this film a lot. I thought it was great, and I definitely recommend everyone to check it out, particularly if you're an art fan or an Australian film fan. It's definitely worth checking out for sure, and it's definitely made me very interested to see what Thomas M. Wright as the director is going to do next for sure. So if I have to give a Cute Misfortune rating, I give it a solid 4 out of 5. It's that good of a film. Now, moving on to movie number 3, which of course is the film Thoroughbreds. And the plot summary for this film is as follows. Amanda, Olivia Cook, is a certified school pariah, the girl who everyone knows murdered her own horse. She's an unlikely match for preppy overachiever Lily, Anya Taylor-Joy. But the childhood besties reconnect when the unnervingly straight-shooting Amanda confesses her sociopathy. Lily is thrilled by the way her friend cuts through the bullshit of their upper-crust society, and when Amanda suggests an audacious plan to murder Lily's appalling stepfather, it suddenly seems like the most natural thing in the world. Now, Thoroughbreds was a film that really popped up on my radar very early, especially when, because I know it played at the Toronto Film Festival last year, but it was only from earlier this year, right up till now, I just kept hearing a lot of buzz about it from people who have seen it, particularly friends of mine on Twitter, who I follow, who have seen the film and absolutely loved it, because it's been playing out in the US for a while now, so a lot of people have seen it and definitely have been really praising this one a lot. So when it played at MIFF, I definitely made a very conscious effort to check this film out. And I did have high expectations with it as well. So did the film live up to those expectations? I would say, yeah, it did. Like, I wouldn't say I loved it as much as other people have, but I really enjoyed this one. It's a really delicious, really enjoyable sort of dark comedy. And to me, what made this film really work, of course, is the performances of both Olivia Cook and Anya Taylor-Joy and their sort of relationship with their two characters. To me, that was kind of the high point of this film. And they're both phenomenal in this film. Like, they have such great chemistry with each other, and they sort of tackled their characters in their own unique way, which for me, I thought sort of really elevated the material. But luckily, they are given a really strong script to work with, and they both have really interesting, complex characters as well. And it's the film's director, Corey Finley. This is being his directorial debut. I thought he did such a really good job with on his first time out. And like the film, his sort of use of using interesting static shots and also some tracking shots. And he also is able to pick up a really specific tone that I thought really worked with the film, and his handling of the sort of the comedy and the dark elements of the story was really well done without it ever feeling uneven at all. And I really enjoyed it. Although I will say though, when it came, I kind of preferred the first two acts a little bit more to the third one. Not to say the third act was bad, but I just found it like, I guess I kind of wanted a little bit more. And that's probably, I guess, my main criticism of the film is that I think, like, on a script level, I think it's a really solid script, but I kind of wish Corey Finley did a little bit more with the story. Because there have been other films in the past that have had similar plots like this. Maybe, and I kind of wish he sort of did a couple of more things to either elevate it to something really great or kind of do a couple of little differences so it sort of stands out a little bit more. But that being said, though, like I said, it's enjoyable, it's really dark, it's funny, and it has two great performances at the center of it with the two main actresses. But before I give my rating, I do want to give a shout out to the other great performance that's in the film, which, of course, is the late, great Anton Yelchin, who is kind of plays a really interesting, if morally questionable character, and who surprisingly or somehow becomes the moral center of the film at the same time. Like, it's kind of sad kind of knowing that this was the very last film that he made before he passed away 2 years back. And it's kind of, in a lot of ways, kind of bittersweet because for the fact that this is the very last film that he did. Because, like, before he passed away a couple of years back, he made quite a few couple of films. Because he did a lot of indie films and that in between some of the big major Hollywood films. So, and a lot of them were released sporadically over the years. But, and this one being the very last film that he was a part of, definitely has a very bittersweet quality. And also for the fact that he's also great in it. And it makes me kind of sad for me as a guy who was a fan of him as an actor that, you know, he was just taken far too soon. And you know that he had more great performances in him that, like, he would have definitely had a major, major career. And the fact that he was taking so many interesting roles, whether they be big films or small films, like, he was definitely an actor who was carving his name, and it definitely made, like, this whole film kind of sad, but at the same time, you know, showing that he was still giving 110% to all of his performances, and he does so in this film. And to me, it was just bittersweet to see that, and we'll miss him. Like, he was a great actor, and it was, like I said, bittersweet to see him see his performance in the very last film that he ever did. So if I have to give Thoroughbreds a rating overall, I give it a very solid 3.5 out of 5. It was really enjoyable, and I definitely recommend everyone to check this one out for sure. Now, moving on to the fourth and final film of this episode, which is the third film from music video director Joseph Kahn, which is the film Bodied. And the plot summary for this film, which is as follows. Woke white grad student Adam is writing his thesis on the poetic functions of the N-word in rap and battle rap. Naturally. In support of his research, one night he takes his vegan girlfriend Maya to a rap battle, hoping to interview champion Ben Grimm. Maya is horrified by the misogynistic, homophobic barbs being slung about like so much verbal shrapnel, but when Adam is challenged to join in the fray himself, he discovers a talent for takedowns that won't get him very far unless he goes all in. Now, Joseph Kahn is a very interesting filmmaker for me. He's made 3 films so far over the course of, probably the last 15, 16 years. Probably his best, the other two films being the film Talk, and as well as the horror film, sort of the meta satirical horror film, detention. But he's primarily best known as a music video director, having directed so many music videos for so many people, but probably best known for his work with singer Taylor Swift, particularly the Bad Blood music video and also Look What You Made Me Do. And he's also directed a couple of interesting short films. He's probably also known for that very sort of very dark and twisted and very satirical short film that was inspired by the Power Rangers. So he's, to me, he's always been that kind of an interesting filmmaker because, like, he's a very stylized filmmaker, but at the same time, you can tell he has a very, he wants to tackle very socially conscious themes in his work. And Bodied Without a Doubt is without a doubt his finest work today, and probably his best film. Like this, I legitimately loved this film. It's not to say that it's perfect, but I had such a great time with this film. And what I really loved about it the most is like he takes the sort of the scene of the rap battle scene to kind of explore very, like I said, socially relevant topics. Like he is. Wants to cover everything in this film. He wants to tackles racism, misogyny, sexism, PC culture, non-PC culture, outrage culture. But he does it in a way that is very satirical. Like he is sort of an equal opportunity who wants to poke fun at all these topics, but at the same time, explore it in a really interesting and in rather deep way that is very smart and very and clever, and also the film is just absolutely hilarious as well, but also in a way like he has a very distinct visual style, and I was really surprised he really toned that down a lot for this film. Like there he kind of goes for more sort of handheld cameras, but not too much, but I feel like it kind of works for the film. Like there is still a lot of very stylistic touches throughout the film, but compared to say like, you know, Talk or Detention or his music videos, that sort of style is kind of sort of downgraded a little bit, because I think in a way it could also be for the fact that this was a low budget film, but it could also be like he sort of wanted to let, like I said, tone down his style to let not be a distraction for the story he's presenting on film. And in that way, it really works. Like, the film is hugely entertaining. It's really smart. Hilarious. There were many times throughout this whole film that I was laughing. And also, it has an amazing cast of actors. A lot of them who I wasn't familiar with. Although, there is one major actor in the film who Anthony Michael Hall, who's probably the only big name in the film. But everyone else is kind of like from... at least for me, were mostly unknowns, and I think that really worked well for the film because it sort of like made me sort of get into the lives of these characters a lot more. And also, I also forgot, the film also tackles in a very big way also white privilege as well, so which I thought was really well done in the film. So I just really, it's just a great film, like a really strong, well done film, and I was just so pleasantly surprised. Like, I heard a lot of great things about the film from people who had seen it. But it ended up being... And I thought, okay, I'll check it out. It sounds like it'll be a fun time. And it just ended up being way better than I thought it was going to be. Like, it... Like I said... And... I will say, though, I guess my only criticism of the film is, like, the film is about 2 hours long. And I kind of felt like it didn't need to be that long. I felt like... it could have been a lot shorter. Maybe shave off maybe 10, 15 minutes off it. Because the film does... like, the rap battle scenes in the film are amazing. And everyone who participates in them does such a great job with them. And the sort of the rhymes, as very un-PC as a lot of them are, they're just really well done. But I do feel like some of them do go on a little bit longer than they needed to be, particularly in the very last half of the film was where I felt it started to drag a lot more because... So in a way, I feel like the film could have been a little bit more shorter and a little bit more tighter. But at the end of the day, it didn't ruin that for me. It just... it still was, in the end, such a hugely entertaining, hilarious, and smart comedy that really sort of is definitely one of the best films that I've seen recently that sort of tackles all these subjects in a really interesting, funny, and satirical way. Like, the film is a full-blown satire, for sure. But it's a film that sort of pokes fun at all those sort of topics that it covers, while at the same time taking them seriously enough to sort of delve into them in a way that is very deep and interesting. So I definitely recommend Bodied. It's definitely, without a doubt, one of the best films I've seen at MIFF so far. And I highly recommend everyone check this out when it gets released. It is pretty awesome. So if I had to give Bodied a rating, I give it a 4.5 out of 5. It was that damn good of a film. And yep, that's it. That's the end of this second episode of my 2018 MIFF audio reviews. I hope you guys all enjoyed it. And once again, I apologize if this episode has gone on way longer than it needed to be. But for the next one, for the third edition, I will be reviewing the films Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot, Celeste, Good Manners, and Fugu. So keep a lookout for that one, and I'll see you guys all then. See you, everyone. Bye.